Greetings again this afternoon in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I was blessed tremendously as we were singing together, and you know, often I raise the question in my own mind, what is it that keeps holding off the judgment of God? And I think I got a little part of that answer this afternoon when God looks down and sees a group of young people like this. We know from the scripture that he has a real soft place in his heart. And I'd just like to encourage you to keep on faithful. Keep on faithful to the Lord. You know, there's a lot of need in this dark, sinful world, a lot of need for a faithful witness for Christ. We want to talk about that this afternoon, and I want to start with Romans 1:16. And it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now this word ashamed means a feeling of painful emotion of shortcoming or inferiority. And we don't have to feel that painful feeling of emotion because something's lacking, because we just don't quite have it. This word power comes from dynamis, or however you pronounce it in Greek, which means miraculous power. And it's the same word. It's the word that we get our word dynamite from. And it just gives us a little idea of what kind of power is available through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we don't have to apologize for it in any way. Now, what is the gospel? Let's just look at that just a little bit. When we're witnessing for Christ, what is the message that we're sharing? Titus 3, verses 3 to 8, give the gospel in a nutshell. There's so many different verses we could look at. The message of the gospel is it's just all through the Bible. But let's just look here at Titus 3. We want to start reading with verse 3 and go to verse 8 and just look at it a little bit, what the gospel is. "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." The gospel is a powerful, life-changing message. It starts by helping us recognize that we are sinners. And it doesn't take much to convince us as we look into our own hearts and we look around men and women around us and we see just what he's describing here. It just comes out and comes out. And then this wonderful love of God. How God became a man, Jesus. He paid the penalty for our sin. And as we respond in repentance and faith, the Holy Spirit moves and works to clean us up and makes us a new creature. As we yield our hearts and lives to Him, we walk in His grace and live lives to please Him. Someday we will leave this life and go be with Him for eternity. And so that's the message in a nutshell that we can share. And we share it many different ways according to the different circumstances that we face. But it's a wonderful thing to be able to share this message. Yes, you are a sinner. But yes, there is hope. This is the way. Repent. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Obey Him. And this is what God can do for you. But we don't have to be ashamed of that. It's a wonderful privilege to be able to share this message. It was suggested in this assignment that I give a number of illustrations, and I think I'll try to do that. I still remember soon after we moved to Honduras, we had learned to know a family, and they came to the Lord, and the wife really wanted me to go see her father. And they told me a little bit about him. They told me about how he wouldn't listen to any preacher. If any kind of preacher came close to him, he would run him off. And how hard he was and this and that. And I wasn't sure what we were going to get into. But we went there that afternoon. And this old man was sitting there. His name was Chepi. And we sat down and started talking, and it was just like he just drew it out of me. And he sat there and listened with rapt attention. Wasn't at all what I was thinking was going to happen. And finally I gave him the invitation if he wanted to kneel and give his heart to the Lord. And he was ready right there. It was amazing. I still remember when he was baptized, he couldn't wait till the bishop was done asking the question, and he was, yes, yes. You know, they're not all that dramatic. Sometimes we struggle. Sometimes a person responds, and then they fail, and then they repent, and then they come back, and then they fail again, and then they repent, and then they come back, and then they fail again. And you wish that they were all this really easy, but they're not. But still, the gospel is the power of Christ Jesus, the power of a changed life. The second point I like to look at is to be a witness for Christ, you must experience it first. Now, I'm not going to be able to enter in any kind of conversation about the joys of hunting. I'm sorry. I never hunted a day in my life. I don't know anything about it. And so you're not going to get me involved in hunting stories. I'm not saying it's a bad thing to do. It's just it never was any of my interest. And so, you know, we talk about hunting, it's just going to go flat. Because if you're going to talk about hunting, you have to know what you're talking about. You have to have an idea about it. And that's so much the way it is when we want to be a witness of Jesus. We must know what we're talking about. And I think about this example of Ahimaaz in 2 Samuel 18. And maybe we'll just look at that story real quickly. This is right after Absalom, David's son, was killed. And they were trying to figure out how to let David the king know. It was good news because David's life and his kingdom was no longer under threat. But it was bad news because David had said, "Don't let anything happen to my son." Well, Ahimaaz got the idea in verse 19 that he wanted to run and tell the king. Joab said, no, you're not going to go. Yeah, but I want to go. No, you can't go. In the meantime, Joab told somebody else to go, and I think when Ahimaaz found out that somebody else had gone, he just couldn't stand it. And he wanted to run. In the last part of verse 22, Joab says, "Wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready?" "But howsoever," said he, "let me run." And he said unto him, "Run." So he went. And he gets there in verse 29, and the king said, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" And Ahimaaz answered, "When Joab sent the king's servants and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was." And the king said unto him, "Turn aside and stand here." And he turned aside and stood still. Why didn't Joab want him to go? Because he knew that he wasn't going to be able to say anything that made any sense. And if he was going to go and give this message, he needed to know what he was going to say when he got there. Now, I'm not saying this. I know that in a group like this, there's a lot of you probably have not had the opportunity or never done this yet, and you'd never shared this, you never shared the gospel with somebody, you never helped somebody found the Lord, and it's a little bit scary. And you might say, "Well, I've never done that yet." Well, let the preacher do that. And I'm not saying that if you lack experience, then you can't do it. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that you need to know in your heart what it is. You need to have that message already, that experience in your heart. And then when you have experienced the wonderful grace of the Lord Jesus, you need to tell somebody. In fact, Jesus said that that's one of the keys to, let's just read that verse in Luke 12. Luke 12, verse 8, "Also I say unto you, Whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. This is something you need to do. You need to confess Jesus before men. And if you've never done it yet, start praying about it and ask God to help you. Do it. Maybe you first start with just maybe a tract, maybe a few words. And, you know, maybe you won't start with leading somebody to Christ and getting them to kneel and pray and accept the Lord Jesus. But you need to start somewhere, and you need to do that sometime. You need to ask the Lord to help you lead somebody to the Lord, because it's a wonderful thing to do. On the way up here on the airplane, I had these messages on my heart, and I was rolling them around in my mind and thinking what all we need to say, what I need to say, and you get out in the world and society, especially on an airplane, and the whole atmosphere is just, everything is just against the Lord. And I was trying to picture in my mind, asking the Lord, what should I do to help somebody think about Him in this environment, in this situation? And you know how foreign it feels, and so far away it feels. But there's a man sitting right beside me, and I noticed he looked Mexican, and he had a Mexican passport in his pocket. So I started talking to him in Spanish, and soon we got deeply involved in sharing the gospel with him, and trying to encourage him to get interested in studying the Bible and finding the Lord. And we talked and talked. When we went to leave, I shook his hand and said, "Pleasure to meet you." And he said, "Thank you so much for sharing with me." People out there are hungry. Not everybody. Not everybody is, but there are. There are hungry people there. And the Lord wants us to find them. Third point I'd like to look at. And this is a difficult story, a difficult point. But we need to be ready to get hurt and be disappointed. You know, if you do a dirty work, you're going to get dirty. And when you share the Lord, you share the gospel, you're a witness for the Lord, you need to get ready. You need to be ready to get hurt and to be disappointed. Think about it in that little story of the cripple at the pool, there in John 5, verses 10 to 6. I don't think we'll turn to it, but you know, Jesus healed that man that was waiting at the pool so many years and taught him to pick up his bed and walk. Of course, it was on the Sabbath day, and the rulers saw him carrying his bed on the Sabbath, and they got onto him for that, and said, "Who healed you anyways?" He said, "I don't know." And after a little bit, Jesus met him and talked a little bit more to him. And immediately he went and told those rulers, "Well, it was Jesus that healed me." And it says that they tried all the harder to persecute Jesus. Some of those things are going to happen. You know, one of Jesus' own special friends, one of the 12, betrayed him. Paul said that Demas forsook me. In 2 Timothy 3:10. And so we need to be ready to get hurt, to be disappointed. One time I got a call from a young man that said he had gotten a tract with my name, number, in jail, in prison. And he wanted to meet me. Well, I wasn't sure exactly what this man wanted. But, yeah, you need to be ready. You need to be ready for whatever. So we made out a place, and we met, and I took him to our house. He was the kind that was just really pushy. And he wanted to come for the weekend. He wanted to come on Saturday and stay and be there for church on Sunday. And wasn't quite sure what to think about everything about him, but I wanted to take the opportunity. And he spent several weekends at our place. And the more we learned to know him, the more we realized that he was a very dangerous man. And one time he asked me, why aren't you scared of me? Well, I tried to share the gospel with him. And soon it became obvious that what he really wanted was money. And a couple times on the phone when I wasn't just real quick to help him out like he thought I should, then he started threatening. Well, I know where you live, and I'm going to take my friends, and we're going to come. And started talking like that. Well, you can believe we were pretty scared. And family was not comfortable, and we prayed. And one evening when we were at school board meeting, I got a call from my wife, and she said, "Alderman's here." Well, that kind of thing just sends a dagger through your heart. After dark, what does he want? Well, I know. I went over there, and he was there. Well, he wasn't there when we got there. I don't know where he'd gotten to, but he came. He didn't threaten me, but I know he had a pistol with him. It was a long story, and what I want to say is that the Lord took care of us. We never got hurt. We're here. But you can get into some situations where you're not sure what to do, what to think. When it became obvious that what he was after was extortion money, I quit answering his calls and blocked his number. And he tried several attempts to try to get in touch with us, but he never came back. And I haven't heard from him for a long time. I don't know where he is. Sometimes I wonder about him, wonder if he's still alive. Those kind of people, often they come to a quick end. He had a really sad story. I don't know if everything he said was true or not. You just don't know. But one of the things that really hurt him, he didn't know of one living relative. His mother had, he grew up on the street. He said the earliest things he learned is that sniffing glue will take your appetite if you don't feel your hunger pains so bad. When his mother died, the only people that were there for him were his gang friends. And that was his family. But soon he got into trouble, and yeah, that kind of life is just so sad. But still, we share the gospel, we witness. So the fourth point that I have is keep on witnessing. Keep on. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And sometimes you just have to grab a hold of that promise. Because sometimes it doesn't look like that's the way it is. Sometimes it looks like all you've invested and all you've tried to do is just a bunch of wasted time. You'd be better off just making money. And of course, sometimes we need to do that. But the encouragement here is to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And sometimes you wonder, why all that wasted energy? Why spend so much time with somebody? There's a young man, a boy that grew up right beside us, and he spent a lot of time at our place over the years. Played with the boys, worked with them, and tried as hard as we could. We just couldn't help him seem. We couldn't seem to help him find the Lord. He got in the wrong crowd, started doing drugs, started stealing from us. Things started disappearing, big things, small things. He'd come back and say, "I stole such and such, and I'm sorry." We'd pray with him. We would forgive him. Things would keep on disappearing. What are you supposed to do? The neighbors were getting upset at us because we were letting this young man, hang around our house. Yet he tells us to keep on. Well, sad to say, this young man realized that he wasn't around anymore. His family was starting to miss him. And 10 days after the last they'd seen him, finally somebody got a clue. Go look in such and such a place and look in a hand-dug well. They found him at the bottom of a 120-foot dry hand-dug well. Somebody had thrown him in there. Why? Why couldn't we do anything with him? We tried so hard. Hebrews 6. Verses 10 to 12 says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." He tells us not to be lazy about it. He tells us sometimes we're going to have to wait a while. It takes faith and it takes patience to inherit the promises. Well, this young man's son, a little boy, 4 or 5 years old, came to live with our son. And looks like they're going to be able to raise this little boy. And he reminds us so much over and over. He reminds us of the man that we tried to help. Say, thank you, Lord. Give us another opportunity with this man's son. Next point I'd like to look at is our witness needs to be backed up by a faithful life. You know, Balaam said, let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. Find that in Numbers 23, verse 10. And Balaam had various other profound and even prophetic statements. But Balaam did not die the death of the righteous. He was killed in battle against the people of God. And this was after he had a horrible influence over them and helped them get them involved in sin and great loss. I once knew a man that we worked together for a while. He was very aggressive in speaking for the Lord. But not long after that, he was killed fighting with the police one night. And I understand that he had been on drugs that night. So it's not just a simple fact of talking about the Lord. Anybody can talk. He wants us to live a life that backs up what we're saying. And the last point I'd like to look at is the reward of the faithful witness. In Daniel 12, verse 3 says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Are you wise this afternoon? Are you instrumental in turning many to righteousness? What is the influence you're letting for eternity? Someday over there, will somebody come and say, thank you for sharing Christ with me. That's why I'm here. May God bless you.